Hi, this is Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study Grown Out, and this is basically a short takes. We're going to be dealing with one topic, and one topic only for the next few minutes, and it's based on Romans 13, 1 through 4, and the title of this particular short takes is Must Christians Always Obey the Government? Romans 13, 1 through 4 says this: Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to do good. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Of course, that's the King James Version, Romans 13, 1 to 4. What is Paul saying here? Can we figure it out? Well, it seems like it's obvious, but what does Paul mean here based on maybe what he actually did? And not him only, but Jesus and Peter. Some examples from their lives, and then we're going to come back and figure out what this means based on how they lived, right? Isn't that what the real rubber meets the road part of the whole thing is? Paul appears to be speaking about our responsibility as Christians with reference to those who exercise governing authority over us. There's a negative and a positive aspect of what he's talking about here, and we'll get into that in a minute. Notice that Paul says that we're supposed to be subject to the higher powers, aka governing authorities. Now, some Bible translations use the word submit in Romans 13:1 instead of be subject to, and they're similar, but submit, be subject unto, and obey. Notice Paul did not use the word obey here. We'll get into that too. They all have unique meanings. The Greek word that Paul used here in Romans 13:1 is hupokouo, K-O-U-O, and which literally means to obey. He did not use that word. Pardon me if I said he did. He did not use that word. Instead, Paul used the word, the Greek word hupotasso, and it means to arrange things respectfully or in an orderly manner underneath. So that's a whole lot different than simple blind obedience to everything the government tells us to do. There should be an order. Things should be arranged respectfully. So God is a God of order, not a God of chaos. And because of that, we need to live in kind. So the Greek word used for submit or to be subject to here does not always mean to blindly obey. And we know that this must be the meaning because Paul and Peter wanted to go with this more broad meaning across to the readers because of the way they lived their lives. So we can use examples from their lives to cement this idea or come up with a clean understanding of what they meant in Romans 13:1 and also in 1 Peter 2:13. Now, let's use a couple of examples from their lives, would you? Because they're both advocating that we, quote unquote, submit ourselves to or be in subjection to governing authorities. So let's see how that worked out for them. In 2 Corinthians 11:32 through 33, Paul was in the city of Damascus. The governor of Damascus had pretty much closed all the exits because he wanted to do something. What was that? He wanted to arrest Paul. He had closed off the exits, put his troops there, and they were on the lookout for Paul. So did Paul then subject himself or submit himself to those authorities? Did he surrender? No, he didn't. He and his friends actually put him in a basket, put him out a window on the exterior wall of the city, let him down, and then he escaped from there. So was Paul a hypocrite? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. The same can be said about Peter in Acts 12. He was arrested by Herod. Here he was lying in prison at night, sleeping away, chained to the two guards between him. And what happened? An angel appears and basically releases Peter from his chains and then says, Peter, we need to go. Let's go. The angel guides Peter out, even past the guards, out into the city at night. And at one point, Peter thought he was actually having a dream. He realized he was not having a dream when all of a sudden he came to himself. And there he was in the city streets, outside the jail. The angel that he had just been talking with is nowhere in sight. And poof, he goes, oh, this is real. What did Peter do at that point? Why did he not turn himself back into the governing authorities? Well, he seems not to have taken his own advice in 1 Peter 2:13. Why is that? Well, let's go on to another example. Jesus himself resisted the governing authorities, both the religious authorities. He spent his 3 years in public ministry, 3.5 years, resisting their attempts to trap him, to catch him doing something wrong. He resisted them. He also resisted the governing authorities when he stood before them at these illegal trials. And when they demanded he respond to them, he refused. He simply sat quiet. Matthew 27:13, Luke 23:7. Jesus also resisted another authority or another power, and that was in the spiritual realm. Matthew 4, he resisted Satan and Satan's attempts to get him to sin. And we know that Paul calls Satan the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2:2. And here was Jesus resisting Satan. And in fact, Paul tells us, resist Satan. Who is Satan to us? He is a higher power in the spiritual realm. We're subject to, in some cases, but we are not necessarily to be obedient to, because Satan will try to get us to sin every time. Now, in Acts 16:37, as a final example here, Paul had been beaten illegally and chained illegally. And he brought this to the attention of those in authority over him who were subjecting him to this criminality, these illegal things. He was not, as a Roman citizen, allowed to be put in chains or beaten until after he went through a trial and was literally and legally found guilty. Then you could put him in chains. Then you could beat him. But that hadn't happened yet. So he told these authorities over him that he was a Roman citizen. Well, they wanted him to come out of jail and not make a fuss and go quietly into the night or day. Instead, Paul insisted, quote, let them come themselves and fetch us out. He was resisting. So what was Paul's reason for making the statements that he made in Romans 13:1? What was his purpose? He was telling Christians basically this, not to be Jewish zealots. What were they doing? Well, Jewish zealots were busy trying to overthrow the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was simply in their way because they did not believe they needed to kowtow to any human government. They believed that the only person they needed to be in obeisance to was God himself. Human authority made no difference to them. They should be able to ignore it. This is why there were so many attempts within parts of the Jewish community to overthrow the Roman Empire. So Paul is acknowledging that God instituted human government in general, as he did way back with Noah, to help keep peace in society and to bring trespassers and criminals to justice so that we would not have anarchy and total chaos in society. He was advocating that Christians simply obey the law so that they would not have to worry about the terror of the government coming down on them. But that's fine for Rome. What about the Christians in the United States? Well, unlike Rome, the USA is not a monarchy. We do not have an emperor. The USA has a higher power, a higher authority. In fact, the highest authority for the Constitution of the Constitutional Republic of the United States is the Constitution. That is our higher power, our higher authority, not the president. We have three branches of government, and they're supposed to work in conjunction legally according to the Constitution to create laws that are in accord with the Constitution. And when that does not happen, we have options built into the Constitution to try to remove those people from office. These options are ours to use and to push back against a corrupt and evil government. To be subject to the government means to obey the laws that are legally based on the Constitution. Any laws that are made that are illegal, not based on the Constitution, it is for us to decide whether or not we are going to obey them. And listen carefully, because I'm not advocating insurrection. I'm not advocating anarchy. What I'm simply saying is, should a person decide that a law that is made is not legally binding by the Constitution, and they will decide to disregard that law, they still need to be subject to the governing authorities when the government comes after them and says, you didn't follow that law, we're arresting you and we're incarcerating you. That could happen. And so by subjecting yourselves to those governing authorities, as Jesus did, even though he was illegally tried and convicted of a crime that he was not guilty of, which resulted in his death, he still subjected himself to those governing authorities, even in his own resistance of them. So Jesus submitted himself to Rome, even though he was innocent, and he subjected himself to Roman laws, entrusting himself to God. Folks, don't let me be the last word on this. Do the research. Maybe this is your starting point. Do the research. Search things out carefully. Find out what God's word says. Don't take my word for it. Search for yourself. Be a Berean. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm sorry I went over, but until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in him.